I'm so proud of y'all. It's a true statement. I'm proud of y'all. But there is a fine line. I've heard sermons preached a lot about pride, and the Bible talks a lot about pride and how we're not supposed to have pride, but at the same time we're supposed to be proud for our children. How does that work out? I'm trying to figure out that fine line between outward pride and hey, look at me and look how awesome I am versus, that haughtiness. Your Bible might say haughty, might use the word haughty. That outward pride where you look at me, look how great I am versus that inward, you might call it satisfaction. But I'm proud of you. I'm proud of how my life is. That inward satisfaction. Trying to understand the difference in how we use those terminologies about pride and I'm good. Here's a way of thinking of it. You could say, in your mind, you could be thinking, I'm pretty good at that. I think I'm pretty good at that. But that's a lot different than saying, hey, look at me, I am great at that. I am the best there is at that particular thing, and look at me. And you see, there's a difference when we're talking about inward satisfaction versus that outward pride. And what makes it all worse is when you're trying to get a job, right? And you're putting in your application, you're putting in your resume, and when you're putting out that resume, you're trying to make yourself look as good as humanly possible. Look at all the skills I have because you want to hire me, right? You want what I have so that you can employ me. And you're putting down, I am mechanical. Let's say you're trying to get a mechanics job. I have mechanical and electrical knowledge when it comes to cars. In reality, all I've ever worked on is my own car, right? Maybe I'm lacking that kind of skill set. But you're trying to make yourself sound good. You're trying to toot your own horn so you can get that job. I enjoy playing guitar. And I know for a fact there are others that are better at playing guitar than me. There are people in this church that are better at playing guitar than me. But I enjoy playing guitar. But there's always that little bit of me, that little bit of competition, that little bit of pride that they're better than me. Why can't I be better? Why can't I, why am I not improving and getting better at it? And they're better than me. And there's that frustration that's there. But, I'm pretty content for the most part. I play for myself. I'm not playing for a career. Sometimes I play for the church, but I'm okay. I'm not making a career out of it. So I can have that inward satisfaction that says, hey, I enjoy playing guitar. It doesn't matter that people are better than me. Have you ever tried to describe yourself? Have you ever tried to say, this is who I am? And what does that sound like to you? Would you say, I'm smart? Would that be you? I'm smart. But then maybe at the back of your mind, hey, there's people out there that are geniuses, that are smarter than me, that are way beyond me. Or maybe how you'd identify yourself, I'm athletic. But then in the back of your mind, I'm not a pro. Well, at least I'm not a pro. I might say, hey, I know how to shoot a ball, or I know how to hit a bat, hit a ball with a bat, but I'm not a pro. I'm not a pro. So maybe that's not a perfect description of me. Would I say, I have money in the bank? So I might say, well, I'm rich. But in reality, yes, I have money in the bank, but I'm not a gazillionaire. I'm not. To say that I'm wealthy is relative speaking, because there are those that have way beyond what I have when it comes to money in the bank. I could say I'm kind, but friends, I'm no Mother Teresa. I may be kind and I may be affectionate, but there are those that are just, that is a gift. That is an incredible gift that some people have to be able to show that kind of kindness to others. We can try our best to describe ourselves, but usually it's only to satisfy self. Yes, I feel like I'm this way. And so there's that self-satisfaction, but if we go trying to toot our horn, there are always those that are better. There's always those that are, gazillionaires when I might have some money in the bank. There's always those. Now, Jesus made some statements in the Bible. Some pretty, pretty bold statements. And the difference is, he wasn't doing it for himself. He wasn't saying, look at me because this is who I am, and you need to look at me, although God receives all of our worship. But at the same time, what Jesus was saying was for the benefit of others. He made several statements, and there's seven in the Bible, there's seven I am statements that Jesus makes that people like to point to. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light. He says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the vine. And Jesus makes these statements. There's seven in particular that we'd like to look at. And so today, we're going to begin to take a look at some of these statements that Jesus makes. They're big statements he makes. In John chapter 6, Jesus is responding. The people there, they're like, what makes you so great? What makes you so awesome? And we had Moses. We had the guy that was out doing incredible stuff, Moses, and he brought us manna in the wilderness. And how can you compare to that? And Jesus, I'm not trying to compare to Moses. He brought you bread, and that was good, and it fed you. But I've got something that's so much better than that. I am the bread. And not only am I bread, but I am bread that's way beyond anything that Moses could ever bring. I am the bread of life. Jesus makes that statement in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus replies to them, I am the bread of life. He's responding to them. They're asking him, what makes you such a big deal? Why? We got Moses, and he says, well, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What a bold statement. Jesus going around making bold statements. You know, I could make bold statements. I mean, I could go and say, I am the pastor of this church. I'm not going to do that. I am the pastor. It'd be a true statement, but I'm not going to go around boasting and tooting my horn and saying, look at me. But there's a difference here. Jesus had something. You see, if I go around making bold statements, I'm musical. I like guitars. You know, I could go around making bold statements, but it would only be for my own self-satisfaction. But Jesus had something to offer. Something to give, something that others needed. Now, we could look at an obvious interpretation of this. He says, I am the bread of life. Bread, it's food. It's for nourishment. Life, food nourishes. And so, yes, food is life-giving. It nourishes. It brings vitamins. It brings minerals. Food is good. But Jesus says, no. This kind of bread is different. This kind of bread is absolutely, this kind of bread, if you receive this bread, which Jesus is talking about himself, if you receive this bread, he says, it's going to change your life. And here's why. Number one, this bread is spiritual. Obviously, it's not real food. You can't gnaw your teeth on this. But rather, Jesus is the bread. John chapter 6, verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. He's the living bread, a bread that's alive, and he's come down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Jesus identifies himself as the bread, not bread that you can chew on with your teeth, not bread that's going to go into your stomach, but bread that is living, it's alive, it's life-changing. Jesus is the bread, and he's bread from heaven. He is the only bread that's come down from heaven. He is the only bread that's going to change your life like this. You know, you go to the restaurant and you open up the menu and there's a whole list of items that you would maybe want to purchase, and sometimes that list can be overwhelming. You know, what do I want that's on this menu? I'm not certain. You spend the time looking at it and reading it and you think, well, what did they have on that sign out there? What was the special? You know, it's chicken and dumplings or something, and it's on special. And here, you got one item that you can pick from, and it's the special item, and you don't have to think about anything else that's on that menu. Well, there is no other way. There is no long list of menu. There's no menu items here at all. You can't get into the kingdom of God through science. You can't get into the kingdom of God through mathematics. You can't work out the problem and get into the kingdom of God. There is no alternative here. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He is the living bread, the only menu item. He is that one special item. You don't have to think about any other way. You can't get in by good works. You can't get in. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I'm the one and that's come down from heaven. He is the gift from God from heaven. And we are to partake of this gift, eat it. No, we can't chew on it with our teeth, but we partake of it by faith. We receive what Jesus has done for us. The food here that God is providing is not just for looks. God is not giving us, you know, he's not providing a potluck and saying, you get to look at it, but you can't touch it. You can't eat this potluck. I mean, that would be horrible. I'm so glad we can eat the potluck. God is not saying, here's the bread, and you can just look at the bread. He's saying, no, you have to partake of that bread. It's something that you receive, and God, giving it as a gift, he knew people would reject it. He knew there would be some that would say, no, I don't want your gift. I don't want what you're trying to give me. But God gave it anyways. He made it available for all, so that if you receive this meal that God is providing, you can have a relationship with him. You can know him. You can partake of a relationship and experience of knowing God. John chapter 6, verse 56 says this, anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. So Jesus really came, he really died, he really shed his blood, real blood. Jesus was really here, he really died on the cross for us. So we're not questioning the physical reality of Christ, but by eating it, it's a spiritual act. You cannot chew on this bread. You receive it by faith, by believing in him. It is spiritual bread we are eating. Jesus becomes that entry point into a spiritual life. He says, if you partake of me, if you eat this bread and drink my blood, if you receive me by faith, what does he say? You remain in me and I in you. So through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, by receiving the spiritual bread, you can have a relationship with the Lord. You can be a part of the kingdom of God. You can be a part of his family by receiving that bread. Verse 63. You know, if you needed further convincing of the spiritual nature of this bread, Jesus says this, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Of course, Jesus always had that disciple that, you know, there'd always be that guy that says, I don't get it. Jesus, what are you saying? I don't understand. I don't know what you're trying to communicate to me. What are you saying? And no doubt, you know, there's that guy that's trying to picture literally eating Jesus and literally drinking, and there's had to be that one guy that just said, I don't get it. Jesus here makes it absolutely crystal clear. This is a spiritual thing. You are the Spirit gives it. You're receiving, these are spiritual words. You're receiving the spiritual action. It's not a human effort. No human effort could partake of this. There's no magic, there's no science that can get you saved. There is no special trick. You can't create that science, that magical experiment in the science lab and say, voila, I've got it. I'm in the kingdom of God now. It just isn't possible. Jesus makes it crystal clear. He says, I am the bread, and it is the Spirit alone who is giving this. Not by human efforts. Jesus' whole ministry was spiritual. I mean, just think about it. Jesus, he was the Spirit overshadowed Mary. He was born of the Spirit. He had a supernatural spirit. The Spirit filled him. He had a Spirit-filled ministry, supernatural ministry, going around doing miracles. He says here he gave Spirit words. The words he spoke were Spirit and life. It says, I believe in Corinthians, it says the Spirit that raised him up from the dead. And furthermore, Jesus is Spirit. He had a spiritual ministry, spirit bread, spiritual bread. We are eating spiritual bread. Number two, this bread is wholesome. This bread is wholesome. Verse 35, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Friends, we live in a broken world. The world is broken. It is hurting. There is pain and suffering all around us. The world is hurting from this big hole that was left because of sin. Sin broke the world. And because of it, they are needing what God was providing, but they don't have that. And so today, let's consider some of these God holes for ourselves and for others. First of all, there's the intrinsic God hole. The intrinsic God hole. We have this need for peace. We have this need for joy in our lives. We have this need for love. Everyone has this need. Songs written about it. We want peace. We want love. We want joy. And God designed us to know that love. He designed us to experience that joy, to have that full relationship with Him in our lives, to have that love and joy and peace. But what came in? Sin damaged it. And because of sin, we were separated from God, and we no longer had that wonderful joy and peace and love that comes from God. We try to fill it. We try to fill it in so many ways so that we can have love and joy and peace. You know, it's funny. We want it. You ever watch that movie, kids' movie, Kung Fu Panda? You guys ever watch that? Kung Fu Panda. So Po and Kung Fu Panda, at the very end of the movie, his teacher is laying on the ground going, inner peace, inner peace. And Po lays right next to him, inner peace, and Po distracts him, and he can't have inner peace because Po's distracting him. We want it. We want peace. We want joy. We want love, and we're trying so hard to get it, and God wants us to have it. And so what's He do? He provides a means through the bread of life for restoration. A restoration of His love, a restoration of His joy, a restoration of His peace, and it all comes through Jesus. What's another kind of God hole that we have? What's another kind of God hole? There's the relational God hole. We have this need to connect. We have this need to connect with others and have relationships. And God once walked in beautiful, perfect relationship with Adam and Eve. And again, because of sin, that relationship was marred. That relation, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They no longer had that wonderful relationship that they once had before. And so we seek for those relationships. We need those relationships. God made us to have those kinds of relationships. God created Eve for Adam so that he could have that relationship. And so we're trying to connect. Our world, social media doesn't help. Social media, you know, even though we're so interconnected more than ever through the internet, we are so much less connected, it seems, than we used to be. We're not connecting with each other. We need those relationships. We want those relationships. And so God made a way. His answer was through Jesus, bringing reconciliation of us to Him. Through that bread of life, we have that reconciliation. We can be a part of that relationship with God again. We can have that relationship with God that we're so desperately needing in our lives. We might not even know we need it, but we need it. That's why we're trying to connect so much. And not only did He provide a means for us to connect with Him, but through the bread of life, He provided a means for us to connect with a spiritual family. With the church of God, the family of God. We have a spiritual family through the family of God, and God made that a means of connection through the bread of life. What's another God hole that we have? What's another one? There is a spiritual God hole, probably one of the most obvious and the ones that is most talked about. We need something deeper. We desire something deeper in our lives, something spiritually significant. And God intended for us to know Him. He intended for us to know His blessings. But because of what? Because of sin that was marred, that was ruined. They no longer had that significant connection with the Father. They no longer had those blessings because of sin in their life. But because of the bread of life, God made a way. Sin cut off Adam and Eve. Sin cut off us from the garden, from His blessings. But through Jesus, we receive His Spirit. Now that is significant right there. Through Jesus, we receive His Spirit. We can have that connection with God again, that spiritual fulfillment by His Spirit in us. And we can pray, we can go to Him in faith and have a deeper relationship with Him, deeper spiritual experiences with Him because of what? Because of the bread of life. Because of the bread of life. One more that I want to mention. One more God hole that I want to mention this morning. The physical, psychological God hole. We need God's healing touch. God has, throughout the Bible as a whole, God has always invested Himself in His people, in their health, in their restoration. At different points, you see Him more active in that through the prophets. We are broken. We're broken physically. We're broken psychologically. We need God's touch. We need access to God, and guess what? God is still invested in us. God still cares about our brokenness and healing our brokenness. Jesus fills our God hole. What is it that scripture says? Let's go ahead and flash that scripture back up on the screen. Verse 35, Jesus replied, He says, I am the bread of life. And what's He say? Whoever comes to Me will never be hungry again. Not talking about a physical hunger necessarily. We're not talking about our stomach growling. We're not talking about our tongue being parched, but He's saying you will never be hungry again. Why? Because God fills the God hole in your life. We had that broken relationship because of sin, but now Jesus has restored that because of His death on the cross. If we receive Him, if we partake of Him, if we eat that bread, spiritual bread, wholesome bread, number three. This bread is life. This bread is life. This bread is life. John chapter 6, verse 40 says this, It is My Father's will that all who see His Son and believe in Him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. It's My Father's will that if you see the Son and believe in the Son, that you will have eternal life, and He's going to raise you up. So in context, Jesus is talking about He wants us to have eternal life. This is what actually separates Him from Moses, really. Moses brought bread. How wonderful. He brought manna from heaven. Well, what makes your bread different, Jesus? Well, He says, I am the bread of life. I give, what does it say here? Eternal life. Moses could not give you eternal life. The bread of life, Jesus, brings eternal life. This totally separates Him from Moses. This makes Him stand out in the crowd. Jesus is super, super big deal and compared to Moses because not only is He the Son of God, not only all that, but He brought the bread of life which gives eternal life. Through Jesus you can have eternal life. Sin led to eternal destruction. Because of sin, we only had eternal destruction. We didn't have that eternal life, but Jesus grants eternal life. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Life. Life. Jesus brings life, eternal life. Sin only led to destruction. If you stayed in your sin, you would not have eternal life. But because of Jesus, you have eternal life, for God so loved the world. God made a way through Jesus, through the bread of life. The realization of eternal life, of this redemption that we have through Jesus Christ, this realization, of course, comes in the last day. Jesus says, and I will raise them up at the last day. So there is coming a day that Jesus is coming again, that He's going to return. And when that day comes, He will raise them up. Those that have died in Christ, those that were believers in Jesus, when they died, He will raise them up. And we who are alive and remain, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who serve Him faithfully, will rise and meet them in the air. Oh, what a glorious day that's coming. What an amazing event that will be. Thank you, Jesus. I look forward to his return when the trumpets blast and when Jesus is returning, and that's going to be awesome. That's going to be wonderful, but it all is brought to you by the bread of life. If you were a salesman who enjoyed selling bread, this is the most incredible bread that you could sell. Guess what? I don't just got bread. I don't just got manna. I've got the bread of life to give you. That would sell. I think that would sell. Beyond the immediate context, and looking at the Bible as a whole, we see that this is not just something we look forward to, but Jesus gives us life now. Not just an eternal life that we're looking forward to, but life now. Looking again at verse 63, but I want to look at it in a different version here. It is the Spirit who gives life. Life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. In some versions, eternal is interpolated there because of the context. So sometimes when you understand the context, you can kind of add the context into what's being said. And so some of your versions will say, it is the Spirit who gives eternal life. That is a genuine context. That's what he's saying there. But Jesus, Christianity is not just, it's not just something we look forward to, it is something we experience now. It is something we live now. We have an eternal dwelling that we are looking forward to, and I am so looking forward to that eternal dwelling. When Jesus comes again, and we're going to dwell with him forever, but guess what? The Spirit of God, God dwells in you. He says, the Father and I are dwelling in you right now. They are dwelling in you now. You can have that relationship with him now. We have an eternal joy. Wonderful joy that we look forward to. But you can have the joy of the Lord in your heart right now. You can experience his joy right now. We have an eternal family that we're looking forward to. When Jesus comes again and we're all dwelling together with all Christians, brothers, sisters, experiencing that eternal family. But because of the bread of life, you have a family now. A spiritual family now, and some who are in the room with you today. We have an eternal service that we look forward to, where we will serve the Lord forever. But we have a service to the Lord now. We have an eternal love that we look forward to, when we will know the Lord's love forever. We'll never know anything but his love. But we have a love of the Lord that we can experience today, a peace of the Lord that we can experience today, a joy of the Lord. You can experience these today. Are you needing a fuller life? Are you needing a deeper life? Are you wanting to experience more of the Lord? Do you need spiritual healing? Do you need love? You can have it forever. Praise God for that. Praise God that there's coming a day that we'll have that forever. But friends, you can have it now. You can have it today. The bread of life, he came. He died on the cross for you and for me. We can have that now because of his death and his resurrection. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread of life, and he gives life. If you believe in him and if you follow him, you can have life through him. He is the bread of life. Jesus made the claim. What an incredible boast. I can't go around boasting like that. It would be meaningless for me to go around boasting like that. Look at me, look at me. But Jesus did it for our benefit. He says, I am the bread of life, not because he was tooting his own horn, but because we need that bread. We need that life. He backed it up with reality. He died on, not only did he say he was the bread of life, he was and is the bread of life. He is the reality of that statement. We're not eating the physical blood or the physical body of Jesus, but what does that mean? What does it mean that we're eating that bread of life? It means we're receiving it by faith. We're grabbing a hold of that spiritual bread by faith. Yes, Jesus, you came. You died on the cross for my sins. I receive it. Thank you, Lord. I claim it by faith. Yes, Lord, I'll be obedient and get baptized. Yes, Lord, I will serve you. Yes, Lord. It's a whole lot of saying yes, Lord. Receiving the bread of life means saying yes, Lord, to Jesus a whole lot. Yes, Lord. I used to sing that in church. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Because that's what we're saying to Jesus. Yes, Lord, you came, you died. Yes, Lord, I receive you. Yes, Lord, I will be baptized. Yes, Lord, I will respond. I will be obedient to your word. Yes, Lord, I will step out in faith and trust you in my life. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. If you have something lacking or missing in your life, if you have a hole that needs to be filled, Jesus wants to fill you. He says, I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you will not hunger. You will not thirst. If you have that hole in your life today, God wants to fill you. He wants to restore his relationship with you. He wants to heal that hole. Fill that hole. We just had a full moon recently. I don't know if you looked out. It was beautiful last night. Did you guys see the full moon last night? Did y'all see it? It was gorgeous. It was on the horizon. It was yellow. I love seeing when the moon is yellow. Did y'all see the full moon recently? When was the full moon? It wasn't yesterday. It was the day before, right? But it was still pretty full yesterday. It was gorgeous yesterday. Around this time of the year, there are groups of believers, Sabbath-keeping believers mostly, who do keep the Feast of Tabernacles around this time of the year, right around the full moon. And for those that do it, they do it because, of course, the Old Testament talks about it. But the idea of tabernacling, the idea of dwelling, they make tents, they're tabernacling. And in my mind, and in the mind of many, when we think of tabernacling, we're looking forward to a time when we're going to tabernacle forever with the Lord, when we're going to dwell with him forever, when he'll be with us, we'll be with him forever, when Jesus has returned, and we no longer are living the life we're living now, but Jesus has returned, and we are with him forever. But we not only have to look forward to that dwelling, we can have the Lord dwelling in us now. We can have that tabernacling of the Lord in us now. We can have his life, not only eternal life to look forward to, but the life of God through the bread of life in us now. Amen? You can have that bread of life now. I'm going to invite John and the worship team to come up. As we begin to worship, as we worship the Lord in this closing song, I want you to go to the bread of life. I invite you to go to the bread of life. He will fill any God hole that you have in your life today. If there is a need in your heart, I want you to take it to the bread of life today while we're singing. He will touch you today. I encourage you, go to the bread of life today.